Well, good morning, everybody. I'm so excited because about a half an hour ago when I left my house, it was pouring rain. So I was like, okay, devil, all right, let's get this figured out. And I got here and it was beautiful and sunshiny. So again, I'm so excited to be here with you guys. During all the COVID crisis, we had to go to our computers to be able, which was awesome that we could still worship and get a message. But a couple weeks being able to be back and see familiar faces and sing songs together and be able to be a family just made me feel so at home, and it just gave me so much peace. So like Mike said a couple weeks ago, he said he walked up to me. I felt like he was kind of hot footing it. I thought it was because he was super excited to see me because it's been a couple months, you know. So anyway, he's like, all right, I got some dates. You want to fill in? And I was like, well, sure. I mean, you know me, I love to talk, so not a problem. So we took a couple days kind of emailing back and forth. And so he says, well, if you want, I have August 2nd. And so I was like, okay, well, that's 10 days. I got it. I think I can do that. That's not a problem. So I really started praying about the message that God was laying on my heart. And so I emailed Mike back and I said, you know, I keep going to the verse right now that talks about be strong and courageous and do not fear when the devil tries to blow your sermon over. I got it. And so I said, I kept going back to the do not fear, be strong and courageous. So I emailed that to Mike, and Mike's like, I think that's great, go with that. So I prayed over it, took me a couple days. So then last Wednesday, before I went to work, I had all 10 pages written up. I felt good about it. And so I highlight the whole message and get ready to change the font to bigger so I could see it. And for some reason, my pinky got like an itchy trigger finger. And it hit something, and the whole sermon got deleted. And so at that point, you start calling on your teenage kids. And so I started saying my son's name, and then I said it louder, and then I said it louder, and then I think I went and knocked on his door. And he gets up, and he comes downstairs. He goes, well, Mom, you just see the back arrow? Just hit that. I was like, but I already X'd out of it. He's like, oh no, that you're done. Like, it's gone. And so I thought, okay, devil, you think you're funny? You're going to erase my sermon? Okay, I got this. So I went to work, and of course the day started falling apart. So I email Mike, and I was like, okay, Mike, so just in case you have a couple extra minutes on your time, like, my whole sermon's gone. I now have 3 days to rewrite and memorize the sermon. So just if you have an extra minute or two, maybe shoot me up a prayer, because I'm trying not to freak out a little bit. So the day goes on, and he emails me back. And the first thing he says, be strong and courageous and do not fear. I was like, okay, funny guy. All right, you're trying to throw back at me what I'm going to talk about. But I was like, you know what? He's right. I need to be strong and courageous in the Lord. And then I'm going to tell you, the last sentence of that email rocked the rest of my week. He said, Jody, thank you for doing the stuff that's worthy of being picked on by the enemy. And I thought, you know what? You're right. Because the minute I do good, and the minute I do what the Lord wants me to do, the devil is right there to mess me up. So he deleted a whole sermon, but I was like, you know, if I'm not being attacked by the devil, I must be doing what he wants me to do. But if he's going to come after me, I must be doing what Christ has called me to do. So I hope that you guys right now are getting picked on for what you're doing. God has a sense of humor. I mean, sometimes I don't think it's always funny, but again, we got it. So if anybody needs help with any kind of techie stuff after service, come see me, Google Docs. I'm an expert at it. And I don't charge that much either. So if you need help, let me know. I'll hook you up. Okay, so we just got over a sermon series on wisdom. And wisdom, I pray for wisdom and discernment all the time. And I think now more than ever in the state of the world that we live in, that it's so important. Eating hair. There we go. So anyway, I don't know about you guys, but since March, my life has felt like a roller coaster ride that is out of control. I'll hit a high, then I hit a low, then I hit a high, I hit a low, and I'm still waiting for like that medium ground, and it keeps constantly going up and down and up and down. So I had to ask myself on this horrible roller coaster ride, what am I consuming? Because we are consumers, we consume all day long, whether it's water or food or media. And I had to ask myself what I was consuming. And you know what I was consuming? I was watching the news like 4 times a day. Every time my phone would beep, I'm like, oh, what's the numbers now? What's going on now? I was glued to my device. And every time I opened my device, you know what was there? It was confusion, hate, fear, turmoil, and it was scary. And it started to scare me. And so I asked myself, I'm like, you know what, Jody? You are a woman of faith. How come you're worried about what the news in the world is saying right now? Because again, it is a whirlwind and a roller coaster ride. So that day I took my face off Facebook. I was like, I can't look at that right now. I can't watch the news because it's coming in at me and I felt like it was attacking me. So I decided to give it up for a little bit. And I asked myself, in my walk with God, what does that look like? What am I doing? Am I being faith and fact controlled, or am I being emotionally and circumstantially controlled? So what if the emotions and the circumstances, what if the numbers go up? What if numbers go down? What if we go to school? What if we don't go to school? What about my 401k? What about this? What about this? What about that? That's what the world does, and I couldn't take it. So that worldly perspective, you guys, I feel like the devil dances on it, and that's what he wants us to do. So that's why anytime my mind starts to wander and I start to get scared, I start to get fearful, I went to my verse. My go-to verse right now is Psalm 32:7. You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of joy. So I hear something. I start to get scared. I go back. I think about hiding place. Like as a little kid when you played hide and seek, when you had like the best little spot and you're hiding, you're like, oh, nobody's going to find me here. I had to go there because I felt so fearful. So I go to that hiding place, which is my Lord. And he says he protects me. And I can't imagine what shouts of joy from my creator sound like. So I hide in him and I think about those shouts of joy and it fills my heart. It's so important to have the eternal perspective, not the worldly perspective. Because when we focus on the eternal, we can stay calm, we can celebrate, we can worship, and we can even have joy in the midst of trial. That joy comes when, as believers, that we may trust and obey regardless of the circumstances of life. Life is going to chew you up and spit you out, but it does not change the fact that one man crawled upon a cross and died for you. I'm having a good day. Jesus is my Savior. I'm having a bad day. Jesus is my Savior. Our circumstances constantly change, but the fact that Jesus died on a cross never changes. So that's where I have to stand right now. I have to stand in that truth. That's why I love Nehemiah 8:10. I say it all the time. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When you can have joy, true joy in the midst of trials, it's because you know the Spirit of God. You know who He is. So you know life will come. It will be hard. There will be turmoil. There will be downright fear. But it's the person of Christ that gives me joy. Your happiness will fade. I mean, cupcakes make me happy, but that fades after I eat it, and then I gain 5 pounds. Happiness fades, you guys, but the joy of the Lord is what remains. I feel like sometimes we're too quick to get discouraged and quit because we don't know how to have joy in suffering. And if you know right now, you know we're suffering. We're a suffering people right now, you guys. We can have that joy. We can have that victory. I'm going to talk to you guys about having a courageous and consistent faith. So it made me go think about Joshua. Okay, so Joshua is who took over for Moses. So we know Moses freed the Israelites from Egypt, and they wandered in a desert for 40 years. And again, if you guys look at a map, the desert they wandered in was not very big. So I can't imagine not asking for directions, right, just for 40 years. They were a faithless, non-obedient people. For 40 years, Moses did this. So after 40 years, Moses is getting old. A new generation has been born up into these people, and they're getting ready to cross the Jordan to get to the promised land. So Moses needs to choose somebody, and he chooses Joshua. I'm going to tell you why he chose Joshua.
because Joshua had proven himself to be a man of faith and courage. He was a brilliant military man. He was spiritually strong. But are you ready for this? This is my favorite part. But it was his submission to God that made him who he was. I pray and I hope that someday if somebody described me, that they would say, it was her submission to her God that made her who she was. Because we must submit to him, you guys. So I'm going to read to you guys the first, it's the first chapter of Joshua, first couple verses. So you can open your Bibles, Bible apps. I know that we also have free Bibles on the back table if you don't have one. They're free for you who don't have one. We'd love for you guys to have the word of God in your hands. So this is the first chapter, verse 5 through 9. So this is God now talking to Joshua, because God used to talk to Moses. So now it's Joshua. So this is what he says. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will now be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So be strong and be courageous, because you will lead the people who will inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers. Again, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law that my servant Moses, do not turn from the left or to the right. You will have success wherever you go. So do not let the book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written. Then, and only then, will you be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified and do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So do not be terrified. I'm going to tell you again. Do not be terrified and do not be discouraged. For your Lord goes with you wherever you go. I don't know if you guys know, sometimes when God says something in the Bible twice, you need to listen up. In these couple verses, he says it three more times. In 24 chapters of Joshua, it's brought up over and over and over and over again. So be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified or discouraged. And I'm going to tell you, personally, over the last couple months, there have been times I have been discouraged and I have been terrified. But you know, every time I stick my nose in this book, he fulfills his promises to me. And I have to tell myself over and over again, be strong and courageous and do not fear. We have a choice. We can go our way or God's way. We must trust God and obey his word. And when we do that, he will make us strong and courageous. I know the world is hurting right now, and it's hurting bad. I think about sometimes what it does to my heart. I can't imagine what it does to God's heart. So people, we are to be a visible representation of an invisible God. So let me say that again. We, us, the church, we are to be the visible representation of an invisible God. So I want to ask you, how are you representing right now? How are you representing through this pandemic? Are you representing Christ or are you scared? Be strong and courageous and do not fear. I'm going to read a quote by now. I love, there's an author I love. His name is Francis Chan, and he wrote this. He says, I want the kindness that only the Holy Spirit can produce in me. How else will we attract the world? I want a peace that surpasses all comprehension, and I want a peace that will leave people confused. A peace that will leave people confused. So I want you to know the pandemic has been it's been hard on me because I'm a people person. I cut hair for a living. I volunteer. I'm a speaker. So for weeks and months on end, I couldn't do any of that. And I'm like, God, there's so much that needs to be done, but the gifts you've given me, I can't do right now. I can't go speak. I can't go volunteer. I can't cook people food. It might have my germs in it. Like, what am I supposed to do? And I just kept hearing, be still. Be still. So I kept being still. And I'm not good at being still. I'm a mover and a shaker, and I get stuff done. So after like a week or two, I'm like, okay, God, I'm still still. Should I still be still? I'm still, Lord. Still. He just kept saying, be still. So for the next 6 weeks, I'm self-employed. So 6 weeks went by, and it was getting to the point where I was getting a little low on the money, okay? So I was really starting to fear. So I went back to be strong and courageous. So as I was sitting being still one day, my son had checked the mail and brought the mail in to me, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, look at this. I have some cards. That's so sweet. And I opened my first card, and cash fell out. I had a client of mine that wanted to bless me, and then there was another card from another client, and I opened it up, and a check fell out. And then there was another card, and I opened it up, and cash fell out. And then out of nowhere, I found out that I was also getting money from my grandmother's, hold on, life insurance policy that came during COVID the same week. So all of a sudden, God says, you know what, Jody, I need you to be quiet and be still. Okay, don't talk so much. You have one mouth, two ears. Come on, listen up, sister. So I had to be still. And so in that, I'm so used to going out and blessing that God says, I need you to be still. I need you to read my word. I need you to drink me in, because now I need you to sit so I can bless you. So the day I got that money, I was over the moon. And of course, it was time for a Walmart run, because that's where you have to go. So I went to Walmart. On the way home, I was like, you know, I'm going to surprise my son. My son loves chicken fingers, okay? So I went to his favorite chicken finger restaurant. So I'm sitting in line, and I thought, oh, okay, so I can't be in public, but I'm going to buy the guy's food behind me. I have to. Like, I have to bless somebody today. I have to. I mean, I can't see him. I just have to bless him. So anyway, I pull up, I get up, I pay for my order. It's like $10. I pay for my order. And this woman's name, I'll never forget, Lola. Sweet Lola. I said, sweet Lola, I need to do something. Here's for mine, and I need to pay for the gentleman behind me. And she looks at me, and she's like, because anytime I do this, you never know what you're going to get. Like, some people are confused. They don't understand. She looks at me, and she goes, why? Is that your husband? I said, no, Lola, my husband is at work. But it says somewhere in the Bible, and I can't remember right now, but it says, to much is given, much is expected. And I got me some money today, so I need to bless somebody else. And she looked at me and she says, you know what? I think I like you. I said, well, you know what, Lola? I think I like you. So anyway, she gives me my change and stuff. And all of a sudden she goes, oh, snap, girl. Mm-mm. Nope. Take it back. I said, take back what? And she's like, girl, he just didn't get a number two. He just ordered $40 worth of chicken fingers. I was like, oh, Lola. All right, guess what? It's what I'm called to do. I'm going to pay for his chicken fingers. She's like, you're going to buy $40 worth of chicken fingers for a complete stranger? I was like, yep, Lola. She goes, now I really like you. I said, well, Lola, I really like you. So I give her the money, and she gives me the change, and this is the best part, you guys. So I pull up to the next window to get my chicken fingers, and of course, like, I want to speed out of there. Here is Lola hanging out the window to this guy trying to explain that I just bought $40, and she's like, and with that, I just had to speed out of there, because in that moment, that was, it lit me up. I loved that I could bless him. And it was so funny because Lola was like, girl, it was $40. You need to take it back. I was like, nope. I'm not. I mean, maybe next time I should ask if he got a number two or if he ordered the whole restaurant. But I was like, you know what? It's what I'm called to do. And I need to go back and see Lola. I just have to go back and see Lola. But it's in those moments that's what God has made me to do. And we need to be that visible representation of an invisible God. So you guys, I want my kindness and my love to confuse people. I want it to be so confusing to them that they hunger for more of it. And when they want more of it and they ask me, I'm just going to say Jesus. And sometimes they don't get it, and sometimes they want to hear more. But I have to show them what it looks like, the visible representation of that invisible God. So as I took inventory of the consumption I was taking in, I started learning to have that courageous and continuous faith. I had to ask myself, how is my worship? And I'm going to tell you, everybody's worship looks a little different. My worship for me is I love music. However, God did not bless me with a singing voice, just a talking voice, which my husband enjoys very much. I'm sure he'll tell you about that later. Anyway, I wish I could sing. I want to sing so bad. So that's why anytime at church, I got to be close because I want to be able to sing along and sing to this music. So there were a couple. I forgot to tell you about this one, guys. So when we were online, there was this great theologian by the name of Mike Howard. I don't know if you know it. You know, furry hair, not so much on top. Anyway, he said, we cannot worship and worry at the same time. And that hit me like a lightning bolt. Because I was getting so worried about everything that as I worry, it pulls me straight away from God. But if I if I'm standing in my worship, there's no place for worry. So you guys, you cannot worry and worship at the same time. If you're worrying, you're not giving your praise and honor to your Lord. So I love music. I wish I could sing, but I can't. So there's a couple songs right now that hit my soul. I love the song right now that's called Peace Be Still. It says, I don't want to fear the storm just because I hear its roar. Put my feet upon the sea until I'm dancing in the deep. Let my faith rise up. Oh, heart, believe. Let my faith rise up. And I think about, we're in a storm, you guys. We are in a storm. We can hear it roar. We can hear it knock at the door. But we do not have to fear it. We can trust God and know that he has us. It makes me think about when Jesus called Peter out of the boat, what did Peter do? He got up and he started to walk. And then he took his focus off of Jesus and he started to sink. And he got scared. And Jesus says, Peter, look at me. So what is God calling you away from to be closer to him? What's your boat? Is your boat full of comfort, fear, laziness, complacency? What is he calling you away from that's worldly that you need to focus on him? And again, if you keep your eyes on him, you're not going to drown. But I get in our humanness, this happens to me, God will call me away from something and I get to the edge and I'm like, yeah. And then when my toes get to the edge, then I start to get a little scared, you know, and then I ask for a raft. It's like, what about a life jacket, Jesus, just a life jacket. Just maybe. Okay, how about just a noodle? You got just a noodle? Like, that's a lot of water. And again, he says, Jody, focus on me. If you keep your focus on him, you won't drown. God's calling you away from something to be closer to him. The other song I love right now is called Confidence by Sanctus Real. It says, I'm not a warrior. I'm afraid to lose. I feel unqualified for what you're calling me to do. But with your strength, Lord, I have no excuse because broken people are exactly who you use. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me a hope like Moses in the wilderness. And give me a heart like David. Lord, be my defense so I can face my giants with confidence. That I will be a conqueror because I know that you fight for me. I'm a champion claiming your victory. And when this says, I feel unqualified for what you're calling me to do, that's just like when I only had 3 days to rewrite a whole sermon. I was like, oh, I don't get nervous speaking engagement. I got a little nervous this week. I got a little nervous. And then I thought, you know what? I don't have any excuse because he uses broken people. Yep, broken right here. But in his strength, I knew he would do it. And I thought about the faith that Daniel spent an entire night in the den full of lions, but he knew his God would save him. And then I think about Moses, 40 years, you guys. We've been in this pandemic like 4 or 5 months, and it seems like eternity. Moses did it for 40 years, you guys. 40 years. We need that hope right now, that hope that Moses and a heart like David. David loved his Lord so much. So give us that heart that we can be that champion and that we can claim God's victory that he gave us through Jesus Christ. The last song that I love, it's called Stand in Your Love. It says, when darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken because my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. And there's darkness and there's sorrow right now, you guys. There's a lot of it. But you know what it does? It comes and tries to steal our joy. But I don't know if you guys know this. You own your joy. You own it. If you claim the victory that Jesus won for you on the cross, the joy is yours. I own my joy. And this week on Wednesday, I let the devil get in a little bit, and he started to take my joy. Until Mike emailed me and said, thank you for doing what the devil wants to attack you about. And I thought, you know what? You're right. The devil thinks he's going to win, but you know what? I know I'm going to claim the victory that Jesus won. And in that, I can have joy. The other thing we need to do is we need to take what the devil meant for evil, and we need to turn it to good. And by doing that, I have to take your thoughts captive. I don't know if anybody has problems with this, but I do. This, especially on Wednesday, I had to take my thoughts captive. I went to 2 Corinthians 10:5. Take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So as my sermon got deleted, I made 5 phone calls in like 30 seconds. I started calling people. Because I was freaking out. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, I remember a saying that says, go to the throne, not the phone. So I thought, you know what? Nobody answered for a reason. So I set my phone down. And I just simply came before the Lord and was like, all right, I am frustrated, but you are good. And because of you, I'm going to claim my victory, and my joy won't be stolen. So even though it was deleted, it got rewritten because God's good. And I just had to say, not today, Satan, not today. So when those thoughts start to come into my mind, I have to ask myself, are they hindering or helping my faith? I have to take what the devil thinks he's doing and flip it around. You guys, my normal job is I'm a barber. So in this pandemic, I have 8, 9, 10 hours worth of people come in all day long. And everybody has beliefs and hurts and sorrows and fears right now. And then they want me to counsel them for those 8 to 10 hours. So week after week, it really started getting to me. So I thought, you know what I need to do? I need to get prayed up. I need to pray up and protect myself before I go to work. So you guys, I went to Ephesians 6, 13 to 17, which is called the armor of God. I'm going to read it right now. Put on the full armor of God. So when the day of the devil comes, you may be able to stand your ground after you've done everything to stand. Stand firm with a belt of truth around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness. Put your feet fitted in readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition, take up the field of faith so that you may extinguish the arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. With all kinds of prayers, make those requests. I heard a Christian woman say one time, while I'm awake, all I want to do is do some damage to hell. That I am praying and loving and having so much kindness that the devil fears me. And that's what we need to do, because the devil wants to get us, you guys, right now. But we need to take what he has for evil and turn it to good. So be strong and courageous, because God is always with you. We must have a continuous and courageous faith. Remember, we can't worry and worship at the same time. Worry, doubt, and fear are down payment on a problem that you may never have. Let me say that again. That's my favorite quote right now. Worry, doubt, and fear are down payment on a problem that you may never have. So let no one hijack your joy. Let no one take it from you, because it is so rightfully yours. Claim the victory in Christ that he won for you. Cover yourself with the armor of God. And get prayed up before you go out into the world each day, because we're going to need it. One verse that I'm going to leave you with right now, it's from Zephaniah 3:17. It said, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. So again, this one says he's going to rejoice over you. The Psalm 32:7 says shouts of joy. Again, he's mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He created you, and he's telling you, you bring him delight. He will quiet you when we start to get stirred up. Think about what that quieting you with his love feels like. And then I love that it says that he will rejoice over me with singing. Singing from the Lord that created me, who is my rock, who is my fortress, who is my healer and my great counselor. He will sing over me. And what a sound that will be. So until I get to heaven and hear that sound and hear the shouts of joy that my Lord will say over me, until that day, people, I pray that we can all do some major damage to hell. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Lord, I thank you so much for this beautiful day. I thank you for the people that were able to come. Lord, let us be strong and courageous and to not be fear. Have not fear and no discouragement, Lord. To have a continuous and courageous faith, Lord. Let us, when we get discouraged, know that you will quiet us with your love. That you will rejoice over us with singing. And Lord, help us to do some damage to hell.
Stand with us. Savior, bow down before him, before he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar. Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought precious blood of Jesus Christ. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Didn't want nothing without. So Jesus, you great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
All right. Let's let them hear this part as we sing it out. Death could not hold you. Let's sing it loud, everybody.
Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, you silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. Powerful name it is. The name of.
Come on, sing it out. You have no
rival.
Take a real quick seat. Thanks for singing with us today. You guys sound great. We've got a few announcements for you real quick.
All right, I don't know who else needed to hear that today, but I certainly did. Just in this season of darkness and fear, where it's so easy to hide and cower, like we have peace and a God who never changes, and this is a moment for us to stand firm and make a difference in a scared world around us. Thank you so much for that, Jody. Really appreciate it. Let's give Jody another hand. Let's give God a hand for being a God who never changes and a God who takes away our fear. That's who deserves the biggest hand. Just a couple announcements for you today. If you have your cell phone with you, and you can pull it out and text the word revision to 474747. That's how we know you're here. It's a great way for you to stay connected to what's happening at Revision, for us to stay connected to you. So if you text the word revision to 474747 and fill out that connection card, that would be amazing. Second announcement, we receive an offering every week just as an act of worship. It's our way of saying, God, we trust you. We know that you're the provider, and we want to give back what you've given to us. And that's what the church runs on there, a couple offering buckets in the back. If you brought something with you today, if not, you can give online. Next announcement. We decided that we don't want to miss this opportunity, this season. We don't want to miss out on the opportunity to equip parents to pour into the lives of their kids. Because this is a unique season. This is unlike any other time in the history of the world, unlike any other time in the history of the church. And as a parent, if you have kids, you have a chance now to pour into them and to lead them spiritually like never before. And we want to resource you to do that at Revision. And so we came up with two new resources. We stopped doing what we were doing for online kids church because it was great for groups at church, but not great for at home. And we created our own curriculum. It's out today. There's a video with Jeff and Grant being ridiculous is probably the best word to describe it, but we'd love for you to check that out with your kids. It's shorter than what was there before, but there's a cool video that we made with a little bit of curriculum that you can do at any point during the week, but it's a great, great curriculum for kids. And then we also wrote something that we named Long Story Short. We took the long story of the Bible and we've boiled it down into 2-minute devotions for families. They're written for kids, and so there's one for every day of the month. If you have kids that are like elementary school aged on down, these are for you. If you didn't get one in the mail, we have a bunch at the Next Steps table. Grab one. If you didn't get one in the mail, also text 47 or text revision to 474747 so we get your address and we'll get you one next month. But these are just made to equip parents, whether it's just 2 minutes right before bedtime, 2 minutes anytime during the day, to open up the Word of God, read it with your kids, and ask them a question that helps pour into them spiritually, because this is a time. This is a season where we need parents more than ever. Like, as kids feel fear, as kids get overwhelmed by this pandemic, we need parents to take advantage of it and to stand up and say, hey, this is who God is. And so we want to equip you to do that. Make sure if you did not get one of these in the mail to pick one up, go through it. Make sure to check out the new videos online. Last announcement. This month is a Reached in One month. Those of you who've been around Revision for any amount of time know that every time there are 5 Sundays in a month, we cancel church on the last Sunday of the month and we go out and serve all around the city. And that's going to look different now because all of our partner organizations have some different realities given the fact that it's a global pandemic. But we are still planning on the 5th Sunday of this month to cancel services. We won't be meeting here in the park for worship service. We will be spreading out in smaller groups in different places to serve the city. Because again, just like Jody talked about, in the season of fear, it's a moment. It's a chance. This is our time. God has us here as a church in this place at this time in history, and it's not an accident. It's our time to bring flourishing to the city and point a scared people toward a God who never changes. And so that's what we're going to do. Stay tuned for more details about how you can be a part of that. Last thing, if you need prayer today, we have someone at the Next Steps table right over there. Rachel's waving. Please go be prayed for. She would love to pray for you. I'd love to pray for you. Thank you guys for being here. Love you. Have an amazing week. We'll see you next Sunday.